I pray to the divinity in you.
Before I talk of the highest state of consciousness, I would like to tell you there are 3-4 words which need a little bit of explanation, such as the science of chakra. It's a profound science, provided you understand something about anatomy, psychology too, then philosophy, and above all, the philosophy and science of Tantra Yoga, which is the most ancient school, practical way of understanding life, its levels, both within and without. First, we explain the word chakra. Then I will explain to you the word kundalini, and then the word Shakti and Shiva. Christian literature and the book of Revelation explains about it something. The book of Revelation of Jewish literature also explains. In all great books of the world, in some way or other, this science has been explained. What is the science of chakra? Then we will see how chakras are related to human body and how we misunderstand and how it has been abused by the modern speakers and writers. Now, simple way of understanding. When I lived in the Himalayas, there was a great yogi and sage from Bengal, not my master, another teacher, who used to teach me on the sand. And he was very famous, a great teacher of maths of his time. His name was Chakravarti. All Indians knew him because of his mathematics books. The way he used to teach me meaning of the dot and how dot extends and becomes one, and how one extends itself and becomes two, and go on 3, 4, 5. Now you see, you reduce this one from 5, it will lose its existence. If you reduce this one from 4, the 4 will lose its existence, it will become 3. Let you again deduct 1, it will become 2. Again 2, it will become 1. But that one is never reduced. This one is nothing but expansion and extension of the dot that can be called 0. A tiny 0. Now, all the sciences do depend on the science that is called positive science, means maths. But what maths? How maths originates from this dot? Suppose the basis of all sciences is suppose. But that is not the basis of yoga. Yoga science is considered to be and is exact science. Patanjali, the codifier of yoga science, made aphorisms not on the basis of suppose, but very definite, exact. So first our goal is to attain the seventh chakra, means Sahasrara, crown chakra. We will not understand a bit of it if we don't understand the comprehensive meaning of the universe and human being. In this science, a human being is like a miniature world. And if you understand yourself, you understand the whole universe. So this science tells you, instructs you to know thyself on all levels. Those who know something about anatomy, they understand it better. Then you will have to understand yoga science so that you understand the functioning of the subtle pranas and vehicles. Then you understand about tantra, science of tantra, which is very profound, though deep. You see, people talk about it, make mockery of it. Most abused science. Annie Besant, for the first time, wrote in English about the chakra, about Kundalini, about Tantra Yoga. And since then, Westerners have been writing on it, and many people even claim that their Kundalini is awakened. When I first came to this country, I visited a place at New York where a Swami used to teach Tantra Yoga. So they gave me subject to speak upon, and I spoke according to my skill. But before I spoke, everyone was in the same direction, moving like this, you know. And Swami said, "Do you know what is it?" I said, "Perhaps they are under the influence of drugs." No, their Kundalini is awake. So he got up and said, "Tell me, do you feel heat in your bottom?" Everyone said, "Yes." "Because of Kundalini." I said, "Perhaps my Kundalini is not awoken. So I don't feel that." When you start working with your body, body goes through many gestures. You try to discipline your body and you will find out body goes through many gross and subtle gestures, moves, shakes. It does not mean that all these symptoms, which sound to be similar to the symptoms of awakening of Kundalini, are actually symptoms of awakening Kundalini. You see. In psychology, the term is not used Kundalini, it is called level of consciousness. In philosophy also, the highest level of consciousness, that is our goal, prime goal of life,
can be attained in this lifetime, provided you pay attention towards the goal and aim of life. Now, first word, seventh chakra. Seventh, I will explain later on. Chakra first. What is chakra? Chakra means a wheel. You see. A rotating wheel, which rotates. Now you have to be with me. Here, the wheel is like that. Why is it not a this type of wheel or this type of wheel? Why is it in a circle? If wheel is made like that, it will not rotate. You make your cycle's wheel, you won't see a cycle like that. You won't see a cycle having wheel like that. Wheel is like this. How wheel rotates? What makes those wheel to rotate directly? When we say, what makes this world to function, you say God. That's not the right answer. What makes this body function? You say, God, that's not right. Prana. After this physical sheath comes subtler sheath that is called prana. So here, there are four spokes. You can put them in many categories, but mainly four spokes in this wheel. These spokes are rotating. That's why wheel is rotating. If these spokes stop functioning, cease functioning, cease rotation, the wheel will not rotate. But there is something unique in the center. What you call hub, it does not radiate, rotate. This hub, see the hub will not rotate. Entire wheel is being rotated because of the hub, but hub itself does not rotate. This whole universe is like a wheel. And different energies are able to rotate this. So there is one word here when I say able to. The word Shakti comes from its root Sak, S-A-K. To have power, to be able to create, to manifest. Because of Shakti, these are rotating, which motivates the whole wheel to rotate. Now, from where that Shakti comes? Shakti comes from this that does not rotate. In the Upanishads, this philosophy and science has been explained in a very subtle way, such as Ishopanishad. Anej dekam manaso javiyo. Who is faster than, what is faster than sound? Light. What is faster than light? Mind. What is faster than mind? But soul does not move.
the half does not move.
It is called faster because it is everywhere. No matter how fast mind runs, finally mind will find soul there. Mind receives that energy from that which is omnipresent, omniscient. But that energy, that center, which does not move, this is called Shiva. And that helps to rotate the whole wheel. That energy emanating from this is called Shakti. You know, all the scriptures, if properly studied, are very simple. Who makes them difficult? We. Teachers make them difficult for two reasons. Either we don't understand them, or we have not experienced them. That's why it becomes very terse and it goes overhead and the students do not understand anything. The students say, oh yes, our teacher is very brilliant, very learned. What have you understood? Nothing. You see, I had to go through all these problems in my life. But I was a little bit obstinate whenever I questioned my teachers. I was very firm. And that great man used to teach me on the sand after finishing morning ablutions. I am imparting the knowledge which I have received from him and through my experience also. What do you do? Is it not good to study great books? Tell me. It's good. But if you go on studying great books and never practice it, never think, how will you understand? The chaos in the world is to read too much, to write too much, and not to understand. The flowers are the same, you only change the bases. So is the case with you students who try to catch the glimpse of spirituality, which is not external, but which is within you. First barrier comes. And that barriers means problems from the external world, the world of objects. By constantly identifying yourself with the world of objects, first problem, first barrier, first obstacle. Second problem is mind is clouded. You purify your body, you wash your body, you build your muscles, you work with your food, but you do not know how that thinking process, which is considered to be mind, a catalogue of thoughts, which is called mind, a train of thoughts, which is called mind, a great magician. You don't understand your own mind. That creates a serious barrier for you to know the real self of yours, the subtlest self of yours, the subtlest being within you. All this sadhana, all the practices, all the prayers are not meant for body or for the objects of the world. They are not meant for God, because He exists and He is everywhere. All the practices are meant for the mind. How? To catch hold of that roving something within you. There are many methods. The science of chakras will help you to understand it better. Yogic science will tell you to understand it better. Look here. I have been telling you that I do not know how to teach a religion. What to teach? Suppose you tell me to teach you Christianity, what can I teach you? Simply by reciting the verses of the Bible. Hinduism, simply reciting the verses of Gita. That's not my job. As you have heard from your childhood onwards that you should learn to speak truth. But no one teaches you how to. My job is not to teach you religion, not to teach you truth the way your religion teaches you, but to teach you truth in a practical life. How to know truth. Today the subject matter is how to attain the highest state of consciousness. There are many, many methods, but here the word chakra has been used, so I will limit myself to the science of chakras. So I told you, what is Shiva? Shiva is that power which is inactive power deep down within you and in the universe. It has power to be, it has no power to become. You see, it is written like this. Shiva. If you remove this E, E means Shakti. It becomes Shava. Dead, a corpse. Shiva without Shakti has no power. Man without woman has no power. It should be understood. This philosophy gives this glimpse. Anything that has been manifested in the world, in the universe, is because of the Shakti. Of course, all that Shakti comes from this Shiva. But Shiva has power to be and not to become. It's only Shakti that has power to become. Now, in a very practical example, illustration, we have known that on the wheel of the cycle, you see, the spokes are rotating, motivating in the frame of the wheel to rotate, but in the center, the hub does not move. There is another point. Wherever this goes, hub goes there. Though it does not move, yet it travels. Because anywhere, any energy, in any form it functions, there is something that does not move. Why does it not move? It has no space to move. It has covered all the space. It is everywhere, that's why it does not move. It has power to move, but it moves through Shakti. It does not move itself. That is why the school of Tantra says, Shiva and Shakti, they are one and the same. They are mingled, inseparably mingled. They cannot be separated. For classification, for understanding this philosophy, yes. Shakti is that original energy which has manifested this universe. So without knowing Shakti, you can never know Shiva. Not possible. So one is unmanifested, another is manifested. Power of manifestation and this manifested. No, sorry. One has power of manifestation. That power of manifestation, when manifests itself, that is called Maya. Another word. Very hard to define. Even great scholars like Shankara says, anirvachaniyam, inexplicable, cannot be described. Some philosophers say, ma means no, ya means that. That which does not exist, yet you see, you apparently find its existence is called Maya. You are driving a car. You find water traveling with you. When you go there, it's not there. Mirage. Maya. You see. Many say, no, Ma means that. Ma means, yes, existence. Ya means that. That which does not exist. Without which existence is not possible. Practical science of Tantra says, try to understand the wheel of life. Now we see, this is a vast subject. You see, it would take 7 days to explain the science of chakra, and you have given me 1 hour to do it. This is Pandaji and doing Pandaji and Shanta, they do silly things for me. Now, I told you that energy, Adi Shakti, first primal force, again, that force, that energy, that power of powers, which is called Shakti, which I explained to you just now, will be known like this. A human being is like a pole. Now, biologically, a pole should fall down. How a human being can stand? As long as he wants. And how does he move? This is biologically very difficult to explain. Now, this pole is divided into many, many, many pieces. Every piece has energy. This piece itself is complete. So what? If you have studied physics, physics can explain to you something about this, but not the whole. You see. That is why the yoga science and philosophy says that if you speak little truth and not the whole, what will it be considered? Will it be called lie? It has no meaning. It has no word. So we all have seen truth, known truth partially. Because the avenues that we have to know truth are very limited.
The science says, no, you are not so small as you think, as you perceive. Go to deeper level of your being. You go, the more you go deeper, the more you dive deep, the more you go to higher state of your being. Such as, take the word fears. How long the fears will live with you, will last with you? As long as you have I, consciousness, which is attached to your body. I am this. When you are in deep sleep, there is no fear. You experience it. What happens to your fears? What happens to your so-called little loves in life? Love for woman, man, love for money, love for this and love for this. All are alike. The king and a beggar, a sage and a criminal, all are alike when they are in deep sleep. But someone knows the way of attaining fourth stage, which is called sleepless sleep. Beyond sleep, from where you can see all three states separately and together also. Sleep, dream, and waking state. When you attain that Turiya, then you are free. There are no fears. When you take off high to 30,000-40,000 even beyond by plane, you are not afraid that a snake will bite me, because the snake crawls on the ground, not in the space. When you know the consciousness, highest of consciousness, all fears take off. They never return. We have to attain the highest state of consciousness, which gives us freedom not from these mere worldly fears, but the fear of not attaining and fear of losing what we have. Fear means not attaining. I will not attain what I want. I will lose what I have. Fear comes from two directions. Then there are no fears at all, because you don't want to attain anything because you have already attained. You are not going to lose anything because you have already attained. So unless you have attained that, you will always remain full of fears. Fear of having pain, misery, and lose what you have. What miserable life it is that we have all the things of the world. I'm talking from worldly viewpoint. To be enjoyed, and we don't have power to do that because of our dissipated mind, because of our outgoing tendency of the mind, which flows with the agents that it has employed, senses. So there is another way, and that another way is going inside, from gross to subtle, then to subtler aspect, and then subtlest aspect of your being, which is called highest aspect of your being. As you have plexus in your body, physical body, corresponding to those plexus, there are chakras. Now, I want to put a question to anybody if you reply. When you see what is it? Come on. Okay, you're right. Now, when you will meditate, how will you meditate?
Will you see it in front of you? It's not there. Will you see within? How will you see it? A picture of it? Suppose you are meditating on your Manipur chakra. How will you meditate on it? You see only a triangle here sitting? Nobody could answer me. Whenever you are meditating on a particular image that is external, you are talking meditating on chakra. There are nothing, there is nothing external. How are you meditating then? You cannot unless you go beyond three sheets. Physical, pranic and mental. The science of chakra remains only a science in the books and nothing to be practiced if you do not understand, practice it. It's a unique science. With the help of this science, you can do tremendous service to the universe, to the humanity. First thing, intuitive diagnosis. Very simple. I am writing a book on it. That disease which cannot be traced by the medical sciences such as clinical way, symptomology, guesswork, you can easily find out. Not by meditating on somebody's, suppose you have problem here, by opening your eyes and looking at the somebody's tummy. By meditating on your chakra, then you will know on the level of chakra, you are very close to other beings, particularly human beings. Why do I say human beings? Why not the animals? No. All the activities of the animals are controlled and governed by the nature. But all the activities of human beings are not controlled and governed by the nature. That's why I say a human being can easily find out himself and problem his own and others. Others in a better way. So when you know the science of chakra well, then you understand all the plexus from pelvic to medulla, which are grossly understood by the medical science, they are corresponding stations. If these plexus are not there, we will not have sensation in the body. When we lose some sensation, we might, it could be one of the possibility that there is some defect in some in one of the plexus. You see, those plexus are in gross body, chakras are in the subtlest body. They are called Shakti centers within us. The distribution center of Shakti within us are called chakras. From where? Various functions of mind receive power. That's why mind functions. One of the functions say, shall I do it or not? Another function say, if you do like this, you will have this. If you do like this, you will have this. Another function says, I am doing it. Another function is supplying energy to these three functions. You can put them in many, many categories. You can see the whole wheel and its functioning by analyzing the various functions and modifications of your mind. Now, so we see that we have chakras inside. I will tell you then how to meditate on this. Because what you are doing, you are just painting something outside and concentrating, focusing on that paint, and you call it science of chakra and meditation on the chakra. It's just like 6 blind people were asked to describe the form and size of the elephant. So one of them caught hold of the tail. He said, hey, I found out, and this is truth. It is like a rat, small mice, hung on a piece of rope, a string. Another said, no, this is not true. It's like a trunk of the tree. Who caught hold of the foot and leg? Third caught hold of the ear. Oh, it's something flappy. And they all are speaking truth. No, none of them is lying. None of them has an intention to lie. Then what is truth? Therefore, most unfortunately, there is one word that has not been completely explained, and that is called truth. And when the word truth was not explained, the word science is also not explained. Because it starts from suppose. So sages say, the language that you use in the external world, the sun rises from the east and sets in the west, and it's accepted language of the world. But when you grow, you come to know sun never rises from the east and never sets in the west. You see? This language of ours is very shallow, limited. Therefore, we will have to transform ourselves by transporting ourselves to another realm. And we will have to learn the language, completely a new language. Language of symbols first. After understanding the language of body, you understand the language of gesture, you understand. As I say, it's the language of body. There is a language of symbols. You will have to learn the language of symbols. No Christian could ever tell me what cross means. I said the priest, I went to Salt Lake City and monastery, and there I said, I want to know. I want to meditate on the cross. Will you tell me why? You know what do they say? Christ was crucified on the cross. They could not give me better explanation. They could not. Though there is a deeper explanation of that. The science of chakra will tell you. Now, a human being is like a pole which has got two hemispheres, upper hemisphere and lower hemisphere. So that divides. In upper hemisphere, there are 3 chakras, crown chakra, ajna chakra, mainly, there are minor chakras which are important too, and Vishuddha chakra. Now, this chakra is symbolized like this. like this. I am explaining this symbol. Does it not make a cross when you divide upper hemisphere from the lower hemisphere? That is the real meaning of cross. Now, Christianity has its roots in Judaism, no matter what you say. You cannot deny it. Even Christians don't deny it. In Christianity, that is called Star of David. What is the Star of David? Why Star of David is like this? This? Why? Because this triangle is a symbol for grace. This triangle is a symbol for human effort. Where the human effort and grace meet, here, that is called Anahat Chakra, which makes a Star of David, which makes a cross. When you understand the language of the symbols of the science of chakras, it will be very clear to you, everything has profound meaning. What happens if you meditate on this chakra? You are in touch with both hemispheres, lower and higher. You are aware of the world, and you are aware of the divinity, and you learn how to live in the world, yet remain unaffected. That's what you do. You become very affectionate, yet you remain quite aloof. You do your work in the world, yet you remain above. You live in the world, yet you remain detached. You are not indifferent. You live in the world lovingly, doing your duties, yet from inside you remain detached. That's what this chakra says. Now, these two chakras, Satyaloka and Tapaloka, they are called. Satyaloka and this is Tapaloka. In Satyaloka, only the Sahasrara Chakra, complete truth, absolute truth is known by attaining this highest state of consciousness. Now, Tapaloka, this is a state must for attaining this. Tapa, the word tapa means warmth, fire. As fire has power to burn everything and change it in its color, that's how the tapa does. So when I will teach you and I will explain the Yoga Sutras, otherwise the whole speech will be diverted. Then comes Vishnu Loka, Vishnu Khanda, and then comes Rudra Khanda. In Vishnu Khanda, these two, and then one, two, and three. Now, many of the pictures you see are not right. Why this triangle upwards and why this downwards? This is symbol. This is flowing downwards, so there should be something down, coming down. What? Grace. You don't have. You don't grow grace. It dawns. But when does it dawn? When you have done all your duties completely. And exactly according to your duty, it dawns. That's why it makes a triangle. Two equilateral triangles put together makes Anahat Chakra, Star of David. According to this science, grace you receive But you don't receive grace because you say everything is done by God, let me sleep. Why should I go to office? Let me see if God will do my office work. When God will do your office work, then let God receive your pay too. The science is so exact. It says, well, you do your work perfectly and according to that you are graced. Actions have no power to bestow grace, to offer fruits. There should be something higher than that. Sometimes you work hard, but you do not receive the way you do. There is a hand of providence in it. Grace is given by the providence, but for on some basis. Suppose it's raining. How much water will you have out of the rains? According to your vessel. So my master told me, I said, you've been teaching me and I'm not retaining anything. He said, I'm going to demonstrate that. He made me blindfolded and gave me a bowl. And with my finger, I touched the vessel of milk. He said, is it milk? I said, I'm pouring that. And he started pouring in that vessel, but it never filled. Do you know why? Because it had a hole. So you have the same type of hole. No matter how much we pour again and again and again, it goes down. So finally I opened my eyes and I found there was nothing in the bowl. Divine is being poured, divinity is being poured by the providence. Please patch up your hole. Human effort. Very important. If you say human effort has nothing to, I have surrendered everything to God. What have you got to surrender? Can you tell me? Can you give me one single thing where you say, I have surrendered everything to God. What have you got to surrender? Tell me. What is there to be surrendered? You say you surrender your wife to God because you are indifferent to her. You cannot earn money, look after her. You are dishonest to her. You surrender your children because you don't want to do your duties towards your children. What do you mean by surrender? All this you are doing to feed something that is called ego. Unless you have surrendered ego, that is not called self-surrender. So far, yourself means your ego. When you surrender yourself, then the real self will come through. Then the grace will dawn. So every chakra is predicted by a particular symbol which has some deep and profound meaning. And if you understand, you understand whole universe, because a human being is a miniature universe. By understanding your own self, you understand the whole universe. Then you understand your relationship with other beings. Then you understand your relationship with whole universe. Then you understand yourself with your finest self called self of all. So here, many books turn this upwards, which is not there actually. In Mooladhara, there is a kunda. Kunda means a cavity, a bowl of fire. You have seen many Hindus, those who use a kunda, they will find a triangular shape, many triangular shapes kundas. It's a symbol of that, taken from this.
But this is not upward flowing. Here energy flows downwards. That's why it is symbol like this. In many of the books I found written like this. The moment I find Mooladhara predicted, I don't read that book. That's it. Because somebody goofed. Yes, did not remember how the triangle predicted, and he made upwards. Whole science of chakra will be. This is because the energy at the Mooladhara is predicted by this, the downwards tendency to flow. Now, Kundalini. Kundala. You know you are wearing earrings. Kundala. You see. It's like earrings like this. Kundala. It's coiled. Shakti is residing here in a coiled form. It's residing here in a coiled form. It's residing in the universe in a coiled form. Whole human being rests on this Shakti, which is residing. Because what a human being is. If you see, a human being is made out of a drop. See, study medically, you will come to know. A small, teeny, mini drop and becomes such a huge human being. It's a miracle. You see. So this whole human being resides, rests on the power that which is called Kundala, coiled. Why is it there? It's not Harabod. No. Harabod is a Swadhisthana chakra. Here. This is Harabod. Swa means her own. Adhisthana means house, home. Why does she not live in her home? Why is she residing here? Where the question, her home is here. Why is she residing here? Because she is intoxicated. And as long as she remains under the influence of intoxication, she sleeps there. What intoxication? Now, go to a Shiva temple, I will tell you one very interesting thing. That is, which is to be known, people don't want to know. You go to Shiva temple, you will find four chambers there. I don't have sense of time. You can tell me when you are tired, okay? There are four chambers. What are the four chambers? They are the four chambers of your heart. That vessel, eternal vessel, drips that nectar to nourish your heart, and that is said looped up, looped up. If it stops, heart fails. You see. That is only what? A symbol. That should be understood, the meaning of whole science. Now, what do you do? What do the Hindus do? They don't want to understand it. They want to pour water, milk, flowers, this and prostate and all that. So, science of symbolism has disappeared. Now, here this tantra science is Deho Devalaya Prokta.
You don't have to search Shiva temple somewhere outside Deho. This is your Devalaya, this is your shrine, this is your temple. So actually, this is a symbol of your heart chakra. You see, you are asked to meditate on it, to understand both hemispheres, lower and upper hemispheres. You see. Now, suddenly your mind, suppose, let us analyze something. I ask you to meditate on this chakra. But you find your girlfriend coming from Florida and you go to New York to receive her. Do you know what it is? You are not actually meditating on this. You are meditating on your Swadhisthana chakra. That flash is coming from your Swadhisthana chakra. Suppose suddenly you go to your girlfriend you have received, then you both went to see that to have good meals in the best restaurant of New York. You have come up to your Manipur chakra. Suddenly you meet people who are miserable, you like to do some service to them, forgetting that your boyfriend and girlfriend, and you like to do, you give something, you are in your Anahat chakra. Suddenly you find a big poster of dancers and musicians. Your mind goes to the groove of your Swadhisthana chakra. Above this, it's a little bit difficult. When you learn to focus your mind here on Ajna chakra, A means little. Gya means knowledge. Whatever you consider little knowledge, this is not knowledge that you have received up to this time. Because this is called knowledge of the world. Knowledge of the world, objects of the world. Which is related to the objects of the world, nothing beyond that. The knowledge that this does not, you see, enlighten you. The knowledge that is not leader is not considered to be knowledge here. It's called apara jnanam. This side, knowledge of this side, not knowledge of that shore. Above this comes knowledge of that shore. There are three chakras which will explain. On the space between the two eyebrows is called ajna chakra, which is called Vrikuti, brows, in between the two brows, where the two brows meet here, this particular brow. Now, you think you are able to see through your eyes? No, eyes have no light. They are gates. Of course, if the gates are not good, the light will not pass through. But the light does not come from your eyes. It comes through your eyes. It's not the source of light. So actually this is the center of the source of light. That's why those who are intellectuals, they are asked to meditate on it. This is called Brahma Khanda. You have seen the world, love of the world. You have seen how love of the world is full of charms, temptations and attractions. How you are lost, whole world, all creatures, even human beings, animals, all insects. And you want that joy which you find between the two, wife and husband, between the two, you want that joy to be expanded. That does not happen. Because that object which you are enjoying, the power you have to enjoy, both are not there. So you have very little joy. You want to expand that joy. That is called Vishayananda. Bliss you receive through that momentary joy gives you a glimpse of the joy eternal. Oh, there should be some joy from where I never fall back to grief and sorrow. So this joy of yours that you have, you received today, makes you aware of some joy, another joy, the deeper state of joy, which leads you to Paramananda. Then you search, and then you meditate on this. Among all symbols, this is a very difficult symbol to meditate upon. Mind can meditate upon square, a triangular form, but very difficult. Mind does not want to be within this. In the center. It wants to come out of this circle. You see. Do you know what it is? How this zero has become one, and from where this symbol has come? Well, when you unite this, that becomes circle. Two ends meet together, soul and Lord meet together. Two ends of the same metal becomes a ring, and that's what you present to your beloved sweetheart, that two ends are becoming one. Here I give you this ring. So here, on these petals, suppose your mind goes here and there, which has got habit, let it go here and here. There are some aksharas here too. No need of going to that details. So you go through that. Here, two things are deeply mingled. What are those? Light and sound. Sometimes you visualize light because you are not allowing that light to be expressed through your eyes, so you can visualize here. Sometimes you hear the sound. So many times you hear funny sounds. Suppose a nail has dropped, you hear that sound. Drop of any metal piece. Sometimes you hear whistling sound coming from distance. Sometimes you hear a sound of flute beautifully being played. I tell you, once a Swami came to me, and he was a practicant of Nada Yoga. This is called Nada Yoga. So in the morning he went for bathrooms, but there are no bathrooms in the mountains. You see. But they take pot of water to clean themselves. Up to 12 o'clock he did not return. And that part of the mountain was full of bears. So all the Swamis said this Swami was killed by the bear somewhere or fallen down from the cliff. Everyone went in search of him. And he was sitting, you know, there are no commodes, so there is a particular position. He was sitting in that position, closing his eyes, listening to the sound, nada. So nada could be, the sound could be right means for attaining, strengthening meditation. But another is visualizing the light, not these lights. There is a light, life has a light in itself. How do you see that this is bulb's light or not sun's light, not moon's light? That light which you carry is higher and better and deeper than the light you see outside. When you come in touch with that light, ignoring these light, making your abode in darkness in meditation,
You know, only one thing I wish. I am a human being like you, but I have only one desire. And God is never going to fulfill that. You know what that desire is? Let my night be expanded for millions of years, so that I meditate whole night. But it will never happen. When you learn to meditate, either hearing of the sound becomes prominent in your case, or seeing of the light becomes prominent. That light is a symbol, sign of something that great men have. They are not guided by the knowledge of mind. This is the difference between a great man, a sage, and a learned pandit, learned man. Learned man is guided by his studies, which is important, which is good. Sages are not guided by that knowledge. Sages are guided by the light from within. They call it vision. They don't call it seeing. And that vision, those who have those vision, they are called seers. Why they are called seers? They see things. They are witnessing things. They are not mingling with it. That's why they are called seers. They see things. They are seers because they are able to see. They have power to see. They don't identify themselves with the seen, that's why they are called seers. After going through strengthening that knowledge of third eye or Divya Chakshu, then they go beyond body consciousness, breath consciousness, mind consciousness. They enter into domain of Atman, close to Samadhi, and they go to Sahasrara. Here, Sahasrara, the highest of the chakras, here, which has got 1,000 petals. 1,000 means, here, 1,000 means millions, not exactly 1,000 petals. Millions and trillions, you cannot count. Once you go there, that is, you find the last gate there. In your human body, there are many gates. 9 gates, and that is the 10th gate. Once you go there, then you decide where you want to go after this, after you drop the body. You have control over your transition. Dropping of the body is conscious for you, it's not unconscious. But this profound science is learnt, practiced systematically. Highest consciousness can be attained if you systematically follow this path. I have met a few, fortunate few, who really attained that. But it is written in Gita, millions tread this path. Many drop on the way. Some go ahead for some miles, then they also drop. Very few tread this. Finally, fortunate few attain. That is the aim of life. Why not attain it? Why postpone enlightenment for next life, for tomorrow, for day after tomorrow? Why not start practicing right now? Suppose you are committing mistakes. Well, on the path of quest, you stumble again and again, but you will be helped. You will get help from the providence. You should walk again.
stumbling is natural. Walking is our effort. We receive the grace. It's already there. God bless you. I pray to the divinity in you.
Yes.
Now, since the seventh chapter is complete, if we meditate on it, would it slow down the aging practice?
Slow down
the
aging practice?
The aging process.
One attains very high stage, so one can live for a long time if he wants to. Though it's not some good thought to live for a long time. Life is on the platform full of misery. I don't think I would like to live for a long time.
What does this 3.5 coils signify?
Three gunas, three states of mind, three padas of home.
And the half?
Half is, suppose, this is home. A, U, M. This is A, U, M, huh? Right? But what is this? That is half. That's hidden. That indicates the fourth step. Ta-ta.